الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه أما بعد. We continue reading in the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب ذكر الريب, the chapter with regards to the mention of doubt and uncertainty, of doubt and uncertainty. And we have seen the dangers of this great disease that will corrupt and destroy the heart and likewise invalidate the faith and the iman, and it will wipe out the entire religion from its foundation. وَلِيَعْذُ بِاللَّهِ. And what is incumbent upon a believer is that he has certain faith and that he has surety in belief, and he is certain that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that everything that is worshipped besides Allah is worshipped in falsehood and not worthy of worship. And he has certainty, without doubt, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the messenger of Allah, and he received revelation, and he's aided by the truth, and what he was upon is the haqq, and that whoever disbelieve in him, whoever he may be after his coming, whether he's a Jew or a Christian, and he dies in that manner, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, then he'll be from the people of the hellfire. This is something that is incumbent to believe. And likewise to believe in everything that has reached us from the information and from the akhbar, that which is revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Quran, and likewise the authentic sunnah, and that which he has conveyed to us from our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise to have certainty with regards to the legislation, the commandments and the prohibitions, that which is halal and that which is haram, that this is a legislation from Allah, and the deen is the deen of Allah, and that whatever he has ordered and commanded, he is pleased with it, he loves that from his slaves, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whatever he has forbade and forbidden and declared to be impermissible and unlawful, then this is something displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have certainty with the religion about Islam, to have certainty with the religion and the rulings and the legislation and the legal laws and limits that have been prescribed in the deen of al-Islam. Those who believe in this, they are those who are successful, and they are those who have the favor and the aid and the help of Allah. And those who belie that, or those who have doubts about that, then they are the losers, and they are the worst of the people, and they will have a severe punishment in the hereafter. So the issue of certainty is the foundation of the religion. The foundation of the deen is certainty, and that is the reality of al-Iman. Al-Imanu al-Yaqeenu al-Jazim. To have certain faith. To have certain faith. We have read a number of the texts that the author he has mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and we continue. He says, وَقَالَ إِبْنُ مَسْعُودٍ وَقَالَ إِبْنُ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. And Ibn Mas'ud, he said, meaning himself, this is a narration that is mawquf, meaning it is ascribed to the statement of Ibn Mas'udin radiyallahu anhu. He says, "Inna min al-yaqini alla turdiya ahadan bi sakhatillah." Verily from the reality of certainty is that you will not please anyone, you will not seek to please anyone at the anger of Allah. At the anger of Allah. You will not seek the pleasure of anyone, at the anger of Allah. وَلَا تَحْمَدَ أَحَدًا عَلَى مَا أَتَاكَ اللَّهُ. And you will not praise anyone, praise them and venerate them for anything that Allah has bestowed upon you. And he said, radiallahu anhu, وَلَا تَلُومَ أَحَدًا عَلَى مَا لَمْ يُؤْتِكَ اللَّهُ. And that you will not blame anyone or find fault with anyone from that which Allah, he did not provide for you. You will not blame anyone for something that Allah, he did not give you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِعِلْمِهِ وَقِسْطِهِ جَعَلَ الرَّوْحَ وَالْفَرَحَ فِي الْيَقِينِ. And Allah, by his knowledge and his justice, he has made الرَّوْحَ وَالْفَرَحَ. What is intended here is الْفَرَحَ, السُّرُور, وَالسَّعَادَ, وَالطُمَأْنِينَ, وَالسَّكِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, from his knowledge and from his justice, he has made relief and satisfaction and happiness and joy and contentment, He has made this to lie in certainty. He has made this to lie in certainty. A way out from every hardship and difficulty. A way out from every worry and grief. To have happiness and contentment and satisfaction. To have pleasure and a good life. The way out from that, Allah, by His knowledge and His justice, He has placed that in certainty. And certainty. وَجَعَلَ الْهَمَّ وَالْحُزْنَ فِي الشَّكِّ وَالسَّخَطِ. And Allah, He has made the worry and the grief in having doubts and being dissatisfied and unpleased. And being dissatisfied and unpleased. And then he said, radiyallahu anhu, وَإِنَّ رِزْقَ اللَّهِ لَا يَجُرُّهُ حِرْسُ حَرِيسٍ وَلَا يَرُدُّهُ كَرَاهِيَةُ كَارِهٍ. And the provision of Allah will not be brought about because of the diligent of the one who is diligent, or the covetousness of the one who is stingy and greedy, nor will it be prohibited or turned back by the dislike of the one who dislikes that, or does not want that, or does not like that. And this will not stop it or turn it back. So therefore, this narration is clarifying the foundation of Tawheed, and that it lies in yaqeen, and in certainty, in the oneness of Allah. And that the command is the command of Allah. And that the kingdom is the kingdom of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He owns and has authority and control over all things. And anything that comes from good to a person, however it reached him by the decree of Allah and by the permission of Allah. And this is the case. And everything that did not reach a person, everything that did not reach a person, he was not able to obtain, or he was not able to get a hold of, then this is also from the decree of Allah and from the command of Allah. لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتَ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتَ. And this here is understood in the Athkar that we have been studying. Yani after the Salawat al-Khams, that there is no one who can prohibit what you have given, and there is no one who can give what you have prohibited. And whatever Allah He decrees, it would occur from provision and from withholding of provision. So this is the case, it goes back to Allah. So therefore he's saying from certainty is that you will not please anybody at the anger of Allah. You will not seek to obtain something from this life and seek your provision or seek your wealth or seek status and rank or position or anything from the affairs of the dunya, and pleasing the people in order to do that and making Allah angry with you in turn. And to please the people and to make them happy in the disobedience of Allah. And the disobedience of Allah. A person, he will not do this. Because he knows that the happiness of that person and the pleasure of that person, it lies in the hands of Allah. It lies in the hands of Allah. And that person, he will only be pleased with you if Allah decrees that. If Allah decrees that. So he will not seek the pleasure of that person, rather he will seek the pleasure of Allah. He will seek the pleasure of Allah. That what he is hoping for, that person, he has no control over that himself. What he's looking for, that person, he himself has no control over that. Rather, it is Allah who has authority over that and command over that. And it's by His will that it is obtained, not that individual himself. So for a person to please someone or to go along with them and he hoping to obtain something from them or to be along with them and the likes like this in the disobedience of Allah, this is because of a deficiency in certainty. Because of a deficiency in certainty. That everything is in accordance to the decree of Allah and what He willed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise with regards to praising, and he will not praise anyone for that which Allah has provided. So therefore, any praising with veneration and honor and love in this manner, if somebody has obtained some good in this life and it came to him by way of another person, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created that other person. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has provided for that other person. And it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who has directed that other person to you and not to somebody else. So therefore the favor is for Allah. And if someone is going to be praised upon a charity or an act of goodness, first and foremost it will be Allah. It will be Allah because this happened by His command and His decree and from His mercy. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He will not praise the people and glorify them and the likes like this, but He will show thanks to them after first showing thanks to Allah. So from showing thanks to Allah is showing thanks to the people. But he knows first and foremost that the praise and the love and the bounty is from Allah. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Whatever bounty or blessing you have, goodness is from Allah. So this person here who has yaqeen, yani yaqeen about at-tawheed, certainty about the lordship of Allah and the rububiyyah of Allah, and certainty about the beautiful names and attributes of Allah and the divinity of Allah, and that He alone is the one who's worthy of worship. This is how he will look at life. This is how he will see. He will have certainty and he will know that this favor is from Allah. Therefore, he'll praise Allah. If somebody gave him something, he'll say Alhamdulillah, and his heart will be attached to Allah with love and veneration and thanks and appreciation. And then likewise, from the wise and noble legislation of Allah is to show thanks to mankind by making dua for them, or by recompensing them with the likes thereof from another gift or a good deed and a good action, and the likes like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned, "Man suniya lahu ma'rufun falyukafirhu," that whoever somebody good is done to him, then let him recompense them. Let him recompense them, and he pay them back. Either he'll do some type of good like that for them, or a charity for them, or at least he will supplicate and make dua for them. Jazakallahu khayran. Jazakallahu khayran. May Allah forgive you. May Allah increase you. May Allah bless you. Like this, he will supplicate for them. And this is from showing thanks to Allah. And then also, yani showing appreciation to that person. وَمَنْ لَا يَشْكُرُ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُ اللَّهِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and whoever did not thank the people did not thank Allah. Whoever didn't thank the people did not thank Allah. So from thanking Allah is to be kind to His creation and to thank those who do good. And likewise, those who forget to show thanks to the people, then this is an indication that likewise, before that, he forgot to show thanks to the Creator of the people. To the Creator of the people. So therefore, this is the issue here. It goes back to Tawheed. Likewise, on the other hand, if somebody prohibited and forbade, somebody needed a loan, for example, or some type of help or assistance, or shafa'ah, intercession, or whatever the case may be, and then he requested that, and he did not obtain it. He did not get it. Either the person, he said, no, I don't have it, or no, I will not help you. Or he refused in this manner like this. He will not blame. He will not find fault. Yani he will not find fault with that person. Rather, he will realize that this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. The only time that person will be blameworthy is if he had prohibited, or he had he did not perform that which is obligatory. And if it was an obligation upon him, and then he did not forbid that, then no doubt he'd be blameworthy. But the point is here to understand that the affair goes back to Allah, that it is Allah who has decreed these affairs, that Allah it is He who has decreed these affairs. So if somebody did not come through or help in a life like this, this happened at the decree of Allah. This happened at the decree of Allah. So therefore, a believer, he will remember that, and he will refer his affairs back to Allah, all of them. And this is the reality of yaqeen. This is the reality of yaqeen, certainty. To know that everything happens by the permission of Allah. It's written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it happens according to how He has decreed and willed. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever He wills and decrees, it would occur in that manner according to His knowledge and the manner it was written with Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it was not decreed, then it will not happen and it will not occur. And Allah, He knows all of that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the certainty that one must have. And then he mentioned some wisdom here, and that is that from the knowledge of Allah and from His justice, He has placed happiness and relief and satisfaction and joy and contentment. All of this lies in this affair here, the affair of certainty. And the affair of certainty. And then the one who is certain that it is Allah who has provided for him. And the one who is certain that it is Allah that has decreed that the provision will not come to him. That it is Allah who has placed him in the situation that he's in. And that his Lord, He is the most kind and the most merciful. That He's the most kind and the most merciful. And that He is the all-knowing and the all-wise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that He is the one who no doubt is worthy of worship and surrender. And that one knows his own self and his own soul likewise. He is a slave. And he is under the command of Allah, and he is provided and sustained by Allah. Therefore, he will submit to this affair, and in this manner he will find happiness and joy, and he will find peace and contentment. He will find peace and contentment. If he's giving some good and some prosperity in this life, then he will show thanks to Allah. And he'll show thanks to Allah, and it will be good for him. And if he's tried with some hardship or difficulty, then he will be patient in the face of that. He will be patient in the face of that, and he will seek help and aid and assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal, and a relief and a way out with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and it will be good for him. And this is that well-known narration of Suhaib al-Rumi radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ, that how amazing is the affair of the believer, that every issue that he's in is good for him, and all of his affair is good for him. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, and that is not for anybody except for a believer. We ask Allah to make us believers, to make us from al-mu'mineen, with alif and lam. You ask for the best of this life and the hereafter. And like this, a good believer, a true believer. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, in asabathu sarra shakara fa kana khayran lah, and if some good befalls him, he will show thanks and it will be good for him. Wa in asabathu darra sabara fa kana khayran lah, and if some hardship or difficulty befalls him, then he will be patient, and this is good for him. This is good for him. So likewise, on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has made worry and grief, discontentment and unsatisfaction, yani uncertainty and not knowing the affairs. He has made this lying and doubts and dissatisfaction. A person that he will be worrisome and anxious, and that he will not know and have doubts, and he's worried about his outcome in the future and how he's going to get his next, what, this and that. Every little thing in life, it bothers him and worries him until he's never at peace, or he's never satisfied, or he's never content. And even if he has good, he's not satisfied. He'll still be worried about his wealth. Maybe somebody will take it. And he's never finding satisfaction and ease in his life, no matter the case. This is because of doubt. This is because of doubt and uncertainty, and being displeased with the decree of Allah, with the decree of Allah, with the command of Allah, with the legislation of Allah, with the deen of Allah. And whether he says that with his tongue, or whether he says that with his condition and the reality that he lives upon, And then he mentioned radiyallahu anhu that verily the provision of Allah cannot be obtained by the covetousness of those who covet, any of the greed and the diligence. No doubt the means are legislated, and a believer, he has to take the means and to obtain his provision, but he will take the means that are allowed for him. And the one who thinks that he's going to be diligent and strive and work in a manner that's not allowed, this is not the means to get the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal. The means to get the provision of Allah Azza wa Jal is to believe that he is the provider alone, and that it comes from him alone, and to take the means that he has allowed, and to take the means that he has allowed, and then in the end to be pleased with what one obtains. To be pleased with what one obtains and what Allah provides from him. And likewise, the person who dislikes something, he cannot stop that. And the command is the command of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, مَا يَفْتَحَ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا, that whatever Allah opens any way for mankind, for mercy, there's no one who can stop it. And if Allah opens a pathway and the avenues of mercy for the people or for an individual, no one can stop it or withhold that. And it's from Allah, no one can withhold that. وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ, and whatever he withholds and whatever Allah does not provide, any from his mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala, then no one can provide it. Then no one can provide it after him. And he is the Almighty and the All-Wise subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the affair is in the hand of Allah. The affair is in the hand of Allah. Certainty. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned about this affair of certainty, yani to clarify the meaning of this athar, yani the statement of Ibn Qayyim is very sufficient or very suitable here. He mentioned, وَمَتَّ وَصَّلَ الْيَقِينُ إِلَى الْقَلْبِ امْتَلَأَ بِهِ نُورًا وَإِشْرَاقًا وَانْتَفَ عَنْهُ كُلُّ رَيْبٍ وَشَكٍّ وَسَخَطٍ وَهَمٍّ وَغَمٍ. He said, rahimahullah, that whenever certainty reaches the heart, whenever the certainty reaches to the heart, then the heart will be full of light and radiance. It will be full of light and radiance, and the light of faith. And every doubt and uncertainty will leave. And likewise, every discontent or dissatisfaction, and every worry and concern and grief, this will all leave the heart whenever certainty comes. You understand that? And how does that happen?
sure in regards, he's certain in regards to the fact that all, everything is controlled, all of us, totally in control.
100%.
The good that comes, the ease that comes, the hardship.
All of it's from Allah. I'm a slave. I'm a slave. He's my Lord. He knows better than me. وَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Maybe you dislike something and it's good for you. وَأَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And maybe you like something and it's harmful, it's evil for you, harmful for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah, He knows and you do not know. And you do not know. So the one who submits, and that's the reality of Al-Islam. يعني الاستسلام لله بالتوحيد. To surrender to Allah with Tawheed, with sincere faith in His oneness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, والانقياد له بالطاعة والبراءة من الشرك وأهله. So whenever the heart is full of this sincerity, full of this certainty, that's when the sincerity comes likewise. Because now he will not look to the people, because he knows that Allah created the people and he has authority over the people, and the people cannot do anything except for the command of Allah. So this will also cut off the avenue of showing off. You know, cut off the avenue of having hope in the creation and the likes like this. Whether he'll put his hope in Allah, it'll cut him off from having fear from the creation. Whether he'll have fear from Allah. So therefore, along with this comes all noble characteristic and trait. That's what he's saying. He'll be brave. He'll be brave. He'll be generous. He'll be brave. He won't be scared. He'll be brave. He won't be scared. And also, he'll be wise. He won't be foolish and reckless. And also, he'll be generous, he'll be greedy and stingy. The provision is the provision of Allah. The command is the command of Allah. So what is he to be scared of from the people? He's afraid of Allah. So therefore, he has bravery, he has courage. Does that mean he's reckless? We separate between the two. Some people, they think bravery is recklessness is courage. That recklessness is foolishness and ignorance. Yani, and acting hastily. But rather he have courage, he'll have bravery. And to stand firm upon his religion and upon obedience. And the likes, and to benefit the people accordingly. Likewise, he won't be stingy, because he knows the provision is from Allah. He'll be generous. He'll be generous. Likewise, again with wisdom. Likewise, again with wisdom, and in moderation. All of this will be governed by the legislation that he believes in and he has certainty in. And so, in this manner, his heart will be full of light and radiance, and every doubt will go away, and every worry will go away, and every grief will go away, and the likes like this, because he surrendered and he submitted. So it says, فَمْتَلَأَ مَحَبَّةً فَمْتَلَأَ عَيْنِ قَالِبُهُ مَحَبَّةً لِلَّهِ وَخَوْفًا مِنْهُ وَرِضًا بِهِ وَشُكْرًا لَهُ وَتَوَكُلًا عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَابَةً إِلَيْهِ. He says, so at this time his heart will be full of the love of Allah and the fear of Allah and the being pleased with Allah and showing thanks to Allah and trusting and relying upon Allah, and he's seeking his help only, and repenting and having sincere devotion to Allah. فَهُوَ مَادَّةُ جَمِيعِ الْمَقَامَاتِ وَالْحَامِلُ لَهَا. So therefore, certainty, al-yaqeen, this is the nourishment or the foundation, the fundamental issue that is the provision for all of the statuses and the lofty ranks of the servitude of the heart. And as has preceded, that all of the worships of the heart, they come from here. From certainty, it's the foundation of all of that hope and fear and love and faith and sincerity and truthfulness and desire and dread and seeking help and seeking refuge. All of these come from yaqeen, and they're strengthened and nourished by yaqeen. And whenever the yaqeen is firmer and stronger, then these actions of the heart likewise will be greater and better and stronger as well. Stronger as well, because the certainty, this is what carries the heart, any upon these actions of worship, and he carries the heart to move in this manner. It carries the heart to move in this manner. After this, the author, he says, rahimahullah, qala umaru radiyallahu anhu yawm al-hudaybiyah, qala umaru yawm al-hudaybiyah. Umar, he said, on the day of al-hudaybiyah, the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, him and a number of his companions, they went to make Umrah. And then they were blocked by the Mushrikun. And then it was almost to the extent that there was going to be war. There was going to be war. And even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took an allegiance. And it's known, al-bay'ah, bay'atul ridwan. And whenever Allah mentioned that he's pleased with the companions, they took an allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to aid him and to support him, and he, at all costs and all means. And if they took an allegiance to him at this time, يعني صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they're ready to go to battle. They said, you can't make it to Umrah. You're not coming to Mecca. And they're going for Umrah. So they're ready to defend this issue. And then some people came from Quraysh, and they want to make a sulh. They want to make what is sulh? Reconciliation. They make a contract, a peace treaties. They want to make a peace treaties. And then, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he listened. He listened and he agreed. And in this agreement, what was apparent from the treaties is that the mushrikun, they have the upper hand. What was apparent from the outward appearance from the treaties is that the mushrikun, they had the upper hand. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he agreed to it. And many of the companions, they looked at the situation, and they were saying, this, we're going to do it like this. We're ready to fight them. We're not going to give up our religion like this. They're thinking that this is not the right, not the right decision to make in this manner like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went through it, and he went ahead with it, and he established it, and he made that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that this is fatih. That this Sulh Hudaybiyah, this is Al-Fatih, the first verse in Surah Al-Fatih. Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina. Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina. Naam, that Allah, he says, verily we have given you a great conquest, a great fatih, a great victory. And then what is referred here is not the fatih of Mecca. What is being referred to here is not the conquest of Mecca, but this treaties here. Because after this treaties, there was peace amongst the people, and the da'wah was able to spread through the lands. And then the mushrikun, they're the ones who invalidated the contract, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to Mecca and he conquered them in this manner. And but the da'wah, it was actually a conquest for them. But in the original affair, or initially, it appeared the contract, many of the conditions were in the best interest of the mushrikun, not in the Muslims, apparently. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed. Umar at this time, he really was trying to persuade the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to sign the contract and not to make the peace treaties. And this is what happened, and this is where this statement comes from. So he says, the author, Umar, he said on the day of Al-Hudaybiyah, فَعَمِلْتُ لِذَلِكَ أَعْمَالًا يَعْنِ أَعْمَالًا صَالِحَ كَثِيرًا. He said, because of that, I worked many righteous deeds. So what is he talking about? And this narration here is actually mentioned ta'liqan by al-Bukhari, but it has been established, this portion here, authentically in al-Bayhaqi. And the story is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And it's a long narration. But Umar, he's narrating, he says, and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to him, أَلَسْتَ نَبِيَ اللَّهِ أَلَسْنَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَعَدُوُّنَا عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. He said, are you not the Prophet of Allah? Are we not upon the truth? Are our enemies not upon falsehood? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, bala, of course. Meaning, of course I'm the Prophet of Allah. Of course we're upon the truth. Of course our enemies are upon falsehood. And then Umar, he says, فَلِمَا نُعْفِي أَدَّنِيَةَ فِي دِينِنَا إِذَنِ. He said, why are we gonna back down in our religion then and take the lower hand? Why are we gonna, if you're the Prophet of Allah, we're upon the truth and they're upon falsehood, why are we gonna back down right now and take the lower hand in our religion? Why are we gonna take the lower hand in our religion? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَلَسْتُ عَصِيهِ وَهُوَ نَاسِرِي. He said, verily, I'm the messenger of Allah, and I will never disobey him, and he's going to help me. What is that called? Yaqeen. That's called yaqeen. Umar, he didn't have doubt. But he is firm, and he's strong, and he wants to go forward. He wants to fight them. He's ready to pull the sword. He's not ready to back down. In this particular issue, he didn't see the wisdom of the affair. Yani the wisdom behind the issue. And so this was the case. So it was of his position that they should go forward and they should fight. And they should show their strength like this. So this is what he's mentioning. Not that he had doubt, radiallahu anhu, of course. This is the case. So then he says, أليس كنت تحدثنا أن سنأتي البيت فنطوف به؟ He said, at this time, didn't you tell us that we're gonna go to the bait? We're gonna go to the Kaaba and we're gonna make tawaf? Didn't you tell us that? يعني, so let's go. You said that we're gonna go to the Kaaba and we're gonna make tawaf. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, bala, yes, I told you that. فأخبرتك أن نأتيه العام. He said, did I tell you that we're gonna go this year? I told you we're gonna go make tawaf. We're gonna go to the Kaaba, we're gonna make tawaf. And then he said, didn't you tell us that? He said, yes, I told you that. And we're gonna go. Did I tell you we're gonna do that this year? He said, la. He said, no, you didn't tell. La, you didn't tell us that we're gonna do it this year. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, فَإِنَّكَ آتِيهِ وَمُطَوِّفٌ بِهِ وَمُطَوِّفٌ بِهِ. He said, verily, you're gonna go to the Kaaba and you're gonna make tawaf around it. And just be patient. Just be patient. Verily, you're gonna go and you're gonna make tawaf. So after this, Umar, he said, he went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma. So he went after he spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and now he's gonna go to Abu Bakr. Maybe he can persuade him to go persuade the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they can fight them. And he said that they can handle this issue now. Like this. So he says, فَأَتَيْتُ أَبَا بَكَرْ. So I came to Abu Bakr and I said to him the same thing. He said, أَلَيْسَ هُوَ نَبِيُّ اللَّهِ وَأَلَيْسَ هُوَ أَلَيْسَ أَلَسْنَا عَلَى الْحَقِّ وَعَدُوٌّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ. He said, isn't he the Prophet of Allah? And aren't we upon the truth and our enemies upon falsehood? And then Abu Bakr, he responded to the same thing. And he responded in the same thing. But first he said, أَيُّهَا الرَّجُلُ. أَيُّهَا الرَّجُلُ. Said, how you translate that? Huh? Oh man. Oh man. And what in English? We don't say oh man. I was gonna say that, but I'm just, you got the picture? Ayyuha ar-rajul. Hey man. Oh man. Na innahu la rasulullah. Ayyuha ar-rajul. Oh man. He said, man, he's the messenger of Allah. وليس يعصي ربه, and he is not going to disobey his Lord. وهو ناصره, and he's going to help him. He's going to help him. He, yes, indeed, he's the messenger of Allah, and he's never going to disobey his Lord, and he's going to help him, and he's going to help him. So then he said, فستمسك بغرزه, فستمسك بغرزه. Hold fast to him and obey him, and don't ask any questions. Don't ask any. Just obey him and follow him and do what he says and submit and surrender. Don't ask. Don't. That's what it means. فَاسْتَمْسِكْ بِغَرْزِهِ. And he follow him and obey him and everything. فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَعَلَى الْحَقِّ. Because I swear by Allah, he's upon the truth. I swear by Allah, he's on the truth. So then he mentioned. He said, didn't he tell us that we're going to go to the Kaaba and make tawaf? And Abu Bakr, what did he say? رضي الله عنه. He said, did he tell you he's gonna go this year? Did he tell you he's gonna go this year? He said, no, he didn't tell me like this. So this is the case, Yani. This is so after this all occurred and the situation went, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the treaties, and then after that it became the chapter of Fitr was revealed, and Allah described this as being a great victory and conquest and means of aid and support that came from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Omar, he realized, Yani, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon the truth, and what he had decided was correct, and what Abu Bakr had decided in this affair was likewise correct. Now this is what he says now. فَعَمِلْتُ لِذَلِكَ عَمَادًا. فَعَمِلْتُ لِذَلِكَ عَمَادًا. Yani, meaning I tried my best to expiate what occurred for me from that, by working so many different righteous deeds. And some wordings have mentioned, فَمَا زِلْتُ أَتَصَدَّقُ وَأَسُمُّ وَصَلِّ وَأُعْتِقُ مِنَ الَّذِي صَدَرَ مِنِّي مِنَ الَّذِي صَدَرَ مِنِّي يَوْمَئِذْ مَخَافَةَ كَلَامِي أَلَّذِي تَكَلَّمْتُ بِهِ. He said, so I continued after that to give charity and to fast and to pray and to free slaves and to free slaves from that which occurred from me on that day, afraid of what I said, and afraid that maybe that what I said would have angered Allah Azza wa Jal, and I would be held accountable for that. So he was afraid of this, and he continued, Yani, to try to expiate that and to repent for that by doing a lot of good deeds. So we see that this is the issue here, that having certainty in the command of Allah Azza wa Jal and in the decree of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And believing that nothing happens except by the will of Allah. And whatever Allah wills, it is good. And evil is not ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal. And evil is not ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَشَرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْهِ That shar is not ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jal. The evil that we see, and the evil that occurs, and no doubt there's evil in the creation, with regards to mankind, it's evil. It's evil. With regards to Allah, it's not evil. It didn't come from Him. Because it is wisdom. It is wisdom. And it is because the creation of shaitan, and the trials of the soul, and the shubuhat and the shahawat, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He's worshipped with trust and reliance, and He's worshipped with sincerity, and He's worshipped with love and hope, and He's worshipped with repentance. Sins occur in this life so that the worship of repentance can occur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves those who repent. Allah Azza wa Jal, He loves those who seek forgiveness. So therefore these things occur, yani for great wisdoms. For great wisdoms. So many times, even a person in life, he will see that sometimes he will do something, he doesn't like it, but he will do it because it will bring about a better good, like taking medicine and the likes like this, or going through different types of surgeries, or so on and so forth. Affairs that he's facing, that initially they're not good, and it's a bad affair, but from that is going to come a lot of good. So therefore, with regards to the evil that we see, that this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not evil with regards to the action of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created these affairs as a test and a trial for mankind. And there is much good that comes from that. We understand that? This is also having certainty in this affair. So then the author, he says, وَفِيهِ مَعْنَى قَوْلِهِ And in this chapter, or in this affair here, in certainty, yani the issue of certainty, is the meaning of his statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا بِمُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولًا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this chapter here, or in the issue of yaqeen and certainty, is the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who, he would taste the sweetness of sincere faith, the one who is pleased with Allah as a Lord, and he's pleased with al-Islam as a deen and way of life, and he's pleased with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger and prophet. And so this is the reality of certainty, and he's satisfied with this. He believes in it, he accepts it, he submits to it, he surrenders to it, he's satisfied with it, and he's content with it, and he doesn't look for anything else. And he's pleased with Allah as a Lord. رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا الرضا بالشيء الاكتفاء به القناعة والاكتفاء به he accepts it, he's pleased with it, he is content with it, and he will suffice with it. So he's not looking for another Lord, he's not looking for another object of worship, he's not looking for the reward or the recompense or the good or the protection from the evil from anyone other than Allah. He is pleased with Allah as his Lord, and he's pleased with the rububiyyah of Allah, and he's pleased with the decree of Allah, and he's pleased with the hukum of Allah, the hukum الحكم الكوني القدري and الحكم الشرعي الديني and الحكم الجزائي. He's pleased with all of that. يعني he's certain that Allah, He is the Lord. And he's certain in the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he's pleased with that. I'm pleased with Allah as my Lord. Whatever He decreed, I'm pleased with that. I accept that, I submit to that, and surrender. You understand that? رضي بالله ربًا ربًا. That means He only calls on Allah. He only supplicates to Allah. His heart is only attached to Allah. Yeah, he thanks and loves Allah, and he surrenders and fears Allah, and he hopes for the reward from Allah, and from the help and the aid from Allah, and he seeks refuge with Allah, and he seeks protection with Allah, and he remembers Allah, and he thanks Allah, and he shows praise and glorification to Allah, and he venerates and respects the command of Allah in this manner. This is how the rest of it comes. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا And he's pleased also with Islam as a deen. And meaning that he's sufficed with that. He's content with that. Islam is my deen. I'm a Muslim. My Lord is Allah. And the religion of Allah that Allah is pleased with is that Islam. So then he'll be sufficed with that. He's not looking for another way of life. He's not looking for another methodology to follow. He's not deceived by the Western world or the Western pop culture. He's sufficient with the rulings and the legislation that is found in al-Islam. That which is allowed in Islam, this is what he likes and he loves. That which is not allowed in Islam, this is what he believes and he avoids and stays away from. And he's satisfied. Islam is sufficient. I don't need any other way of life. I don't need any other deen. I don't need any other path. If it's allowed in Islam, alhamdulillah, let's go. If it's not allowed in Islam, let's leave it alone. It's no good. Our Lord is Allah. Our Rabb is Allah. Our deen is Islam. And he's suffice with that. He's content with that. He likes that. He's happy with that. From that which this necessitates is that he will seek to learn and know about that. Huh? If you love something, what do? You want to know about it. You want to learn about it. You want to know more about it. You want to keep learning about it. If somebody loves something, for example, sports. Pick a sport. Those people that have become infatuated with the sports, they will know great details about the players. Great details about their height and their some of them, they know their shoe size, subhanAllah, and they know their names and they know their stats, and then sometimes they know stats about these people before they were even born. And because their hearts, they love them, so they learn about them. That's the point. Their hearts, they love them, so they learn about them. So whenever a person, he's pleased and he loves Islam, what would he do? He'll want to learn about it. He'll want to know about it. He'll want to talk about it. He'll want to listen about it. He'll want to hear about it. This is the case. Likewise, will be Muhammad and Rasulah, and with Muhammad as a messenger, meaning that his role model is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants to be like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's who he wants to be like. He doesn't want to be like anybody else. He wants to be like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You understand that? And this is something that it's not hard to understand, but we have so many problems with these affairs. And there's so many problems with these affairs. Some people, they want to be like Jay-Z or whoever the new guy is today. You know, in their mind, that they walk like him and talk like him and dress like him, and he is from the worst of mankind. He's from the worst of mankind. Wadiyadu billah. May Allah guide him and the rest of them. But the point is, a believer, if he's truly pleased with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger, he'll follow him. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded, he would do it. Alhamdulillah, he's my prophet. He's my prophet. I'm following my prophet. This is what he said. He's got a message from Allah. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade and he made it impermissible. He declared it like that. Whatever the case may be, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a beard. Khalas, we get a beard then. If he's pleased with it, alhamdulillah. If he's not pleased with it, goes back to the yaqeen. Where's the issue? Where's the issue? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that you should pray as you see me pray. So the one who believes in all of these affairs and the prayer is for Allah and the legislation is for Allah, and he sent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to clarify the way that leads to Allah, and he said this about the prayer sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we just learn how to pray then. You just learn how to pray how the messenger prayed. So then he was going to stop following his customs and his culture if it's contrary to what has come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if he did not do that and he preferred his custom and his culture over that which has come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's because he's not really pleased with him as a messenger, no matter what he says. There's a deficiency there. And it goes back to a deficiency in certainty and a deficiency in faith. And so this is the case. And therefore, he doesn't find the sweetness of faith. So to find the sweetness of faith, you have to do this. The one who's pleased with Allah as a Lord, meaning he's pleased with the Lordship of Allah and the command of Allah and the decree of Allah and the ruling of Allah and the judgment of Allah in this life and in the hereafter. And he's pleased with Al-Islam as a religion and a way of life. He abides by that legislation. He stays in the limits of the legislation of Al-Islam. He stays in the limits like this. Whenever he worships according to the legislation of Islam, whatever he believes before that, his creed, and then his worship, and then likewise his manners and his conducts. Whenever he gets money, he does it according to the legislation of Islam. Whenever he spends money, when he deals with his wife, whenever she deals with her husband, how they raise their children, what goes on in their home, how they act when they come outside, what are they doing in the car, everywhere they go, public and private, it's according to this, because this is what he's pleased with. This is what he likes. This is what he prefers. This is what he's content with and satisfied with. Al-Islam. Al-Islam. The one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with. The one that he taught his companions radiallahu anhu. And then likewise with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a messenger, meaning as a role model and an example to follow in all aspects of life. An example to follow in all aspects of life. After this, the author, he says, Babu Sakhat. Babu As-Sakhat. The chapter of being displeased. And as-sakhat is the opposite of rida. Rida is to be pleased, and also means to be satisfied with something, to be pleased with it, to be satisfied with it, and content with it. And as-sakhat is the opposite of that, to be displeased with it, to be dissatisfied, and to be uncontent. يعني with something. So the author he says وقول الله تعالى ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه. And whoever believes in Allah, then he will guide his heart. And whoever believes in Allah, then he will guide his heart. And this verse is in the portion of a verse in the beginning of it. أصابة من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله. إن تغابن ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا بإذن الله ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه ومن يؤمن بالله يهدي قلبه. And no calamity befalls except by the permission of Allah. No calamity, difficulty or hardship falls except by the permission of Allah. And whoever believes in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart. And whoever believes in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart. The author he says, قال علقمة. علقمة he mentioned, هو الرجل تصيبه المصيبة فيعلم أنها من عند الله فيرضى بها ويسلم. He said the interpretation of this verse here, يعني meaning that whoever believes in Allah, Allah will guide his heart. And after the mention of the calamity that occurs by the permission of Allah, علقمة ابن قيس النخعي رحمه الله, he says, this is a man that a calamity will befall him, and he knows with certainty that it's from Allah. So therefore be pleased and he will submit. So therefore he'll be pleased and he will submit. So what is the reward for this? The reward and the great fruit of certainty and submitting to the command of Allah in the times of hardship, that Allah, he will guide the heart. The guidance will come in this manner. If a person is afflicted with difficulty or hardship, and then he realizes and he knows that it's from Allah, and he will be pleased with that and accept that. Meaning he will accept that, and he will have good thoughts about Allah, and he will seek the reward from Allah, and he will take the means that is allowed for him to get relief, and he will seek the aid and the help of Allah in this manner. In this manner, like this, if he does this, what will happen? Yahdi qalba. Allah will guide his heart. Allah will guide his heart. So this is a great means for guidance to come in this manner. So the one who is inflicted with hardship or difficulty, this is no doubt a trial. But for the one who is sincere and he has certainty that this is from the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's actually a mercy for him and a means for him to have guidance. And the guidance of the heart, which is the guidance from Allah, the guidance of al-tawfiq, and the guidance that will enter the heart and cause a person to be obedient and upright and surrender and submit inwardly and outwardly, this is the greatest mercy in favor of Allah. Ar-Rahma al-Imaniyah. Ar-Rahma al-Imaniyah, the mercy of sincere faith. And this is something that Allah, he selects and chooses for his slaves whom he loves, and he guides them to sincere faith. So therefore, if a person, he's tried with a hardship, and then at that time he submits and knows it's from Allah and he surrenders, then Allah will guide his heart. And for this reason, many times a person in this situation, he will find great benefits in his life and humbleness and humility, and he will find strong trust and reliance, and his faith would increase, and he will repent and seek forgiveness and the likes that will come about from this difficulty and hardship. And many times he will rectify his affairs, and he will search for the deficiencies in his life and rectify them because of this calamity. It will bring him back to Allah. And if he was already obedient, it will cause him to be even more obedient, and he will know with certainty there's no way out from this hardship except for to return to Allah. So therefore he does this, and he increases in faith in this manner, and the guidance comes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned likewise about those who are tried in their wealth and in their property and the loss of life and loved ones, that whenever this occurs, they say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Then Allah, he mentioned about them, ulaika alayhim salawatu min rabbihim وَرَحْمَةً وَأُولَيْكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. That these are the ones that whenever the calamity befalls them, they say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Remember, they remember the affair of Tawheed, that we are from Allah, meaning Allah has created us, he has brought us into existence, and he's providing for us and sustaining us. We are under his command, and we are returning to him. They're the ones that they have the salawat from Allah. Allah praised them and mentioned them with good. And likewise, they have the mercy from Allah, and they are the ones who are upon guidance. They are the ones who are upon guidance. So this is the issue. You need to have certainty and to submit and to surrender and to not be upset and to be dissatisfied or discontent with the command and the decree of Allah.
After this, the author says, وَعَنْ أَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا حَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ رِضَى وَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَعَلَيْهِ السَّخَطُ فَعَلَيْهِ السَّخَطُ. And he mentioned the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that verily Allah, if he loves the people, he will try them. Ibtalahum. Yani imtahanahum, ikhtabarahum. He will test them. Yani he will test them, he will try them. He will put them in situations to test them. And the likes like this. So whoever is pleased, then they will have pleasure. They'll have the pleasure of Allah. Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. They will have the pleasure of Allah. Whoever is displeased, and then they will have a sakhat, and either anger and the displeasure of Allah likewise. Rawahu at-Tirmidhi wa hasanahu. At-Tirmidhi, he narrated this. So this is any the case, that the one who is pleased with the decree of Allah in the times of hardship and difficulty, and he returns to Allah, then Allah Azza wa Jal, he will be pleased with him, and he will guide him, and he will help him and aid him and make a way out for him. And likewise, he would guide his heart until he will have certainty, and he will have goodness in any situation that he's in. And as for the one who was unsatisfied or displeased at the decree of Allah, or the hardships, or the things that do not go one's way, then he will, likewise, Allah will be displeased with him. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he will be displeased with him. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this one, this narration here, it mentions that if Allah loves somebody, he will try them. If Allah loves somebody, he will try them. And he will test them in order to purify them. Meaning he will test them, and then he will give them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, success to pass the test. He will test them with hardships and difficulty, and then he will guide them and bless them to be able to be patient and to seek the reward from Allah. This is the case, and he will try them in this manner. So they'll be tried, and then they'll be given success to be obedient with that trial, and to be patient in that trial, and to handle that trial properly, and this will be a means to raise their rank. Who's the favor for? And the favor is for Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is the one who created them. Allah is the one who tried them. Allah is the one who gave them success to be patient and to deal with it. And then Allah, from His grace and from His mercy, is the one who will reward them. Huh? That's yaqeen. To have certainty in this. Tawheed. It goes back to tawheed. Everything you look at it from the eyes are the aspect of tawheed. The command is Allah's. Like this. This is the way for success. With regards to if Allah loves someone, He will try them. There's another narration from Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu that testifies to this. And to clarify this issue, that he mentioned that he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayyun nasi ashaddu bala'an? Which of the people have the most severe trials? Which of the people have the most severe trials and the harshest trials and difficulties? Qala al-anbiya. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the prophets. The most severe what? Trials, hardships, difficulties, calamities to face. Hardships to face. Who has the most severe of them, the hardest of them, the most difficult of them? The most difficult of them? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-anbiya, the prophets. Thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. Thumma al-amthal fal-amthal. And then those who are like them and those who are like them, meaning in their faith. And according to one's faith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فيبتلى العبد على حسب دينه فإن كان دينه صلبا اشتد بلاؤه وإن كان في دينه رقة ابتلي على حسب دينه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, so a man, a person, a slave, he will be tried according to his religion. If he has strength and firmness in his deen, he'll be tested accordingly. If he has firmness and strength in his religion, then the calamity will be severe with him, or more harsh and difficult. And if he has weakness in his deen, if he has some weakness in his religion, then he will be tested accordingly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَمَا يَبْرَحُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْعَبْدِ حَتَّى يَتْرُكَهُ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مَا عَلَيْهِ خَفِيَّ. He said that, so in this manner, the calamity or the hardship, the difficulty, the trial will remain with him until the slave is walking on the earth and there is no sin with him whatsoever. And it's a purification for him. And he purifying his faith, and purifying his deen, purifying his heart, purifying his soul. So therefore it's a favor from Allah Azza wa Jalla and a blessing. And this here is from the evidences and the great proofs of At-Tawheed. And that the one who, that if the prophets and messengers and the righteous and the awliya of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the most pious, yani according to their piety and according to their righteousness and their nearness to Allah, will determine how hard and difficult the trial will be for them, and the hardships and difficulties that they will face and they will go through. And there's no way out for them except to return to Allah. And this is in reality a mercy from Allah. And in that, calling on the prophets and the awliya is falsehood. And this falsehood, they can't even protect themselves. They can't even pretend. They're the ones who tried the most. The hardship and difficulties come to them the most. And they're the ones who are afflicted with the trials the most. And then they themselves return to Allah as a mercy and grace from Allah. And Allah aids them and helps them and gives them firmness and steadfastness. So therefore, calling on them besides Allah is falsehood. It's from the most obvious of falsehood. Rather, it's from the worst of all falsehood. And the worst of all, the masabba, and the worst of all claims and statements with regards to Allah, that He would have a partner or that He would have someone to go to before Him or through Him or a mediator. So the prophets there tried, the righteous there tried, and this is from their sincere faith. So to call on them and to make dua to them, whether they're alive or dead, this is from the most evilest of affairs and the most obvious of falsehood. We understand that. And this is a great benefit to refute the worshippers of the grave with. After this, the author, he says, Babul Khalaqi wa al-Ittirab. Babul Khalaq wa al-Ittirab. Al-Khalaq is worry. And al-Ittirab, yani worry and grief, and he's not certain, again, yani similar meaning, hesitant and unsure, and the likes like this. And we continue. Insha'Allah in the class to come with this chapter. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.